wait a minute, hold up, pump your brakes. Let's try this one more time. It's your girl, Edith Yolanda, and this is the dang truth. Let's go. You know what? It's 2020. And not only is it 2020, it's the second week of 2020. And I am just going to put everything out there because guess what? It's 2020. It's a new year, but it's the same old bitch. Welcome to the dang truth. Guys, it's your girl, Edith Yolanda. And I can't wait to dive into 2020. Listen, guys, so much has gone on and I'm just putting it all out there. And I hope that I don't hurt anybody's feelings. I hope that I don't damage relationships. I hope that I gain more followers and I hope that I don't lose old ones. But guys, this is the dang truth. This is me. This is my shit. And I'm going to run it like how I see fit to run this shit. So I hope that you guys enjoyed the new journey that you're going to take with me into this year of 2020. I hope that I keep you entertained. I hope that I keep you enlightened. I hope that I give you joy. I hope that I make you laugh on your way to work, because guys, this is the deal. I have Ashley C. and Mike Doc, who are my loving and dear friends, and there is no beef whatsoever between us. We were going to meet up. Everybody's schedule was conflicting, and we were going to meet up the first Sunday in February, and something just spoke to me. My inner being, my inner goddess, God, whoever you want to call it. But anyway, I got this revelation. Bitch, you started this. And motherfucker, you're going to end it. So, with that being said, not saying that the dang truth is going to end anytime soon, because this is my outlet. This is how I release. This is how I keep moving and I keep things afloat. I am not willing to compromise the podcast or the show with keeping things delayed and having you guys wait for us to all get together. However, whenever we get together, whenever I get with Ashley C or whenever I get with Mike Doc, of course it's going to be gravy and real wavy. And I am looking forward to the days that we all can get together, all three of us, and podcast together. We will be having more guests on the show, and I just really want to put it out there that I am going to make this show as authentic as I possibly can. Meaning, I'm not going to lie to you guys. I'm not going to lead you on. I'm going to keep it 100% real. I've noticed that while I was podcasting and putting out, you know, word on the street and different issues that we were having in the world today, I was kind of biting my tongue because I was afraid of offending people. I was afraid of, you know, offending my partners in crime, my people, my friends, and all this other stuff. And I just, at this moment in time, the dang truth is an outlet for me. It's kind of like a diary that I am pretty much reading aloud to everybody. I'm being as transparent as I possibly can. And I just hope that you guys accept me and go on this journey with me. I know a lot of times that, you know, we want to remain politically correct and we don't want to offend people, but sometimes the truth really hurts. And a lot of times we don't want to hear the truth. And what I'm realizing is that I have to stand in my own truth. It's kind of crazy because I was watching Will Smith on The Breakfast Club with Charlamagne the God, DJ Envy, and Angela Yee, which they're kind of like a go-to type of radio show that I listen to on a regular basis because I love the topics. I love Charlamagne the God. I love Charlamagne's wife. We actually went to middle school together, intermediate and middle school together. So I really look at Charlamagne being from the same hometown that I was raised in, and I look up to him. And the one thing that I honestly enjoy about Charlamagne is his growth and how he has become more enlightened and more aware of what's going on in the truth. He speaks the truth. And so when Will Smith came onto the show, he was saying how everybody put him in the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air category, the Will Smith that everybody knew from Hollywood. And then he said for his 50th birthday, when he jumped out of that plane, it was like liberation. It was him, you know, living his authentic self and being truthful to himself. Well, guess what, guys? I'm not waiting until I'm 50. I'm not even waiting until I'm 40. I'm jumping into my truth right now. Today, 2020 is the year that I am going to be authentically me, unapologetically me. I'm going to speak my truth, and hopefully it will bring lightness and awareness to the issues and the problems and everything that's going on in life. So guys, go on this journey with me. Let me know if you fuck with me. If you don't fuck with me, that's okay. Tell me why you don't fuck with me. Tell me why you don't agree with me. Let's have dialogue. Let's, you know, I am willing to open myself up and get some feedback from you guys so that I can learn, so that I can be a better person. One thing that I'm really working hard, really, really working hard at in 2020 is I'm really trying to, I don't want to say forgive people, because I really, if I cut you off, bitch, it's for a reason. Okay. Now, don't get me wrong. There are times when I have actually had to apologize, like literally had to apologize. But with that apology, I still ended the relationship or the friendship or, you know, the family ship. But at this point in my life, I want to apologize and still be open to growth and healing and love from the people that I had to apologize to the people that I had cut off in the past, to the people that I said that I would never speak to them again. I would never fuck with them again. I am trying to find healing and growth and love and realizing that it's not necessarily something that I want to do, but it's something that is a requirement of me from the higher power, God Almighty. So I'm learning that in 2020, I am really trying to rekindle old friendships, rekindle not past loves, because I realize that those have ended for a reason. But however, I don't want to be an enemy. I don't want to be a person that is not a friend. You know, I don't want to see one of my exes and he's ablaze or on fire and I wouldn't even spit on him to, you know, take out the fire. You know what I'm saying? I want to grow and I want to heal from these past relationships, friendships, familyships. So that's one of my biggest things that I want to do in 2020. The second biggest thing that I want to do is to be healthier. Now, I know you might say, oh, here she goes. She's another one of those girls that are saying, hey, I want to be summertime fine and all this other bullshit. Well, first of all, I was fine in the fucking winter. Actually, I'm fine how I am right now. However, being healthy fine is what I am striving to goal myself. So one day I got off of work and I was really frustrated at work and I was really like just over it. And then I called my family member and my family member made me even more upset, right? So I was like, shit, fuck, damn. I'm so frustrated. I'm so angry. I'm frustrated at work. I'm frustrated at home. I'm frustrated with my relationship that I'm in. And I just don't want to go home right now. So where does a bitch go when she doesn't want to go home and it's late at night? Walmart. Yes, bitch, I went to Walmart. So I went to Walmart, and while I was walking through Walmart, something told me, again, my inner goddess, my inner being, God Almighty, was like, sit your black ass in that seat and put your arm through that cuff. And so I decided to sit down in the little seat in the pharmacy section of Walmart. And I put my arm through the cuff. And I realized that my arm was like really tingling and it was tight as fuck. And when it got done, it said, bitch, your blood pressure is high. And we all know that high blood pressure is the silent killer in our community, in my community, the black community. And that was it. That was it. Yeah, I'm alleviating stress out of my life, which is one of the biggest diets that I'm going to be on. Alleviating stress. And the second thing is to eat healthier. So I am eating healthier. I'm doing intermittent fasting. And I am making sure that I get all of my greens in and my water and my smoothies. And I'm going to lay off of the salt. So that is another thing that I'm going to do. The third thing that I really want to do, and I'm putting it out there because I know that a lot of people think that it's too late to start over, or it's too late to start something new, or it's too late, or I'm too old, or I'm too this, I'm too that, I'm too big, I'm too black, I'm too sassy, I'm too fat, I'm just too much of too everything. And I really want us to really take that mental block away from our goals and what we want to do in life and how we want to be successful. So my third goal for 2020 is to really approach a different career. As you know, I have been a makeup artist for the past 19 years, going almost 20. And I love making women feel good about themselves. I love women having this esteem boost when they leave my chair. I love it because I love women. I love giving love to those people who might not have seen the beauty that was in them before they sat into my chair. But, however, I'm getting kind of burnt out. I want to get off my feet. I'm tired of my back hurting. I have, like, the worst fucking corn on my right foot, on my pinky toe, because I stuff my feet in pointy heels every day, and I walk on a marble floor, and I look really, really cute, but, bitch, I'm in pain. And so I'm kind of over it. So I've decided to take another route, and I have decided to move on with another career along with a cousin of mine and a girlfriend of mine in California. So I'm not going to dive too much into that because I really want to make it happen before I speak on it. But I am putting it out there that yes, I am looking forward to a career change. So all of these things are happening in 2020, and I just can't wrap my mind, my head around how I'm going to get it done. But bitch, I'm going to get it done. And the one thing that I am going to do is start writing things down. I decided that every day I was going to journal. Every day I was going to have something great to say. And then if I didn't have a not so good day, I was going to write that down also. But I had to have a solution by the end of the day of how I was going to make this thing work for me. So 2020 is going to be great. 2020 is going to be awesome. And when we get back from this break, I say we like it's me and a whole audience of people, but you guys are my audience. So when I get back from this quick break, I want to tell you how I had to accept me for me, and I had to let some people go who didn't want to accept who I was. And when I get back, I will let you know how I did this. So stay tuned to the Dame Truth. Don't go anywhere because it's just a little quick break. Don't go nowhere. All right. All right, guys, so we have a new segment called the Brown Sugar Glow Up segment. This is when we give much cred and spotlight to those who are in our community that are having magnificent moments in their lives, and they have a humongous achievement. So we call this the Brown Sugar Glow Up, and the Brown Sugar Glow Up is brought to you by Hermosa Cosmetics, because when you want to find the beauty within, you reach for Hermosa Cosmetics. All right, guys, now listen, this Brown Sugar Glow Up moment, I can honestly say that time and time again, I have said this about this person. Okay, you're getting on my nerves. Okay, you're saying too much. Okay, bitch, what? You're being extra. Ugh, shut up. But I am so happy for my sister, and I will never discredit when a woman, especially a brown girl who is having a brown sugar glow up moment, I will never discredit their moment in the time for them to shine in the spotlight, okay? Because that's what you do when you scrub your skin with the brown sugar, you start to glow. And bitch, we are giving it to Amanda Seals for glowing up and getting her spot on the reel. Yes, on the reel. I am so happy that I have another brown girl that can shed some light, enlighten these motherfuckers, and tell them the truth on national syndicated television. Amanda Seals, you have done it. When the devil said no, 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 God turned that around, and whatever God has for you, it is for you. I am so happy, even though a lot of people have been talking shit, even though a lot of people have been saying that you are no longer going to be on Insecure, I am so happy for you, because bitch, you are the bomb. You have a book out now called Small Doses, which we all know we can only take you in small doses, Amanda Seals, because bitch, you can be extra sometimes. However, we still love you, and you are still a part of the African American community VIP Black Members Club, unlike Omarosa and Tiger Tiger fucking Woods. So yes, let's give her a round of applause. Amanda Seals, we are very proud of you. Now go out, black people, and buy the goddamn book. Word on the street. Yeah, word on the street is a little different, because I just really want to focus in on one topic and one topic only. I know in the past, there usually was like everything that's going on in these streets. We're talking about it, and it makes for a really, really, really good show. But today, I just really want to focus on one specific topic, and that is Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. So guys, yeah, I know a lot of you have heard about, you know, Meghan Markle and Prince Harry. I've seen the memes, I've seen the news, I watch ET, believe it or not, I watch Entertainment Tonight, and I am not really focusing on if there's beef between Harry and his brother. I'm not really focusing on if Meghan Markle has good poom poom and she made Harry leave his royal family. I'm not focusing on if the queen is upset. I'm not focusing on anything that the tabloids has to say about this subject. The one thing that I really, really want to focus on is Prince Harry talking about mental health awareness, and how his mental health awareness and how the issues of his past has affected him today to make the decision to walk away from everything, to walk away from it all, and to focus and hone in on his family. This is the most beautiful story that I could ever, ever, ever imagine. Because the one thing that I can always remember is my mother telling me how a man is supposed to cleave unto his wife, and the wife is supposed to cleave unto her husband, and they're supposed to be a beautiful, harmonious tango between the two, the husband and the wife. It's a beautiful dance. It's something that I have been taught time and time again, that the husband forsakes all others and he cleaves unto his wife. And so this is what I think is just absolutely stunning about this relationship, is that we have two people from two totally different spectrums of life. One thing that was really, really making me upset was how a lot of people were saying Prince Harry got a woman straight out of Compton. I've seen the jokes, I've seen the memes, I've seen it all. But one thing that really, really showed me and brought light to my eyes is that you can be completely different on different ends of the spectrum. You could be a prince and you could be a girl from Compton, but it's really about what you think about yourself. From what I see, Meghan Markle wasn't brought up with a silver spoon in her mouth or, you know, was a spoiled brat. However, she did have her ties to Hollywood through her father. It seems like she came up with very humble beginnings compared to Prince Harry. However, this man still saw beauty in this woman. He didn't see her for her credit score. He didn't see her for just her schooling or her education. He didn't see her for only her looks. He saw a woman that was intelligent, that was smart, that was beautiful. He saw a woman that he fell in love with, of a different race. He saw a woman that brought something more than just what she could bring to the table, but something that she could bring into his life. And so I look at it like, man, this man who is a certified prince could have had any woman in the entire world. If a woman, I feel like if a woman wanted a man, she would want a prince. Because that's all that we have ever been brought up with. It's like Cinderella and Sleeping Beauty and all these Disney cartoons that we were brought up with. The woman always wanted the prince. She always wanted the knight in shining armor. She always wanted to be swept off of her feet. She always wanted this beautiful royal wedding. And Meghan Markle got all of that by being just who she is, authentically herself. It amazes me how this prince decided to choose this woman to be his wife. And it led me to really evaluate and examine what I thought about me and how I feel about me. Because so many times I thought that I was undeserving. So many times I felt like, wow, like, what's wrong with me? Am I not smart enough? Am I not beautiful enough? Am I not financially stable enough? What is it with me that only guys see me for, I don't know, sex? Or guys only see me for a good time? Or guys think that I'm too mean? Or guys think that I'm too difficult? Or what is up with me? And then I had to really, really evaluate and reevaluate and diagnose and pull apart. And I realized that I had been settling so long for the person to just love me, because I really, truly did not see the value, did not see the love that I had in myself. I recently started dating a guy, and this guy, by all means, was just a really laid-back, cool guy. Nothing fancy, extra. He wasn't Adonis. He wasn't rich. He didn't have Benzes and Bentleys. Just a regular guy. And the reason why I liked him was because we could talk. We had great dialogue, and honestly, the sex was good. It was spontaneous sex. It was fun sex. It was just good sex. And I had to really evaluate myself, because what I realized is that I was going about it all wrong. And when I started requiring more from this guy, he was not willing to give that to me. And when I started asking for more, he was not willing to give that to me. There were always excuses of what happened or why he couldn't. And at the end of the day, I was not satisfied. I ended up having a conversation with him really not too long ago. And it was because he, after I found out that he wasn't willing to give me what I needed, emotionally, I kind of let it go. I was like, I'm gonna cut ties. And it was like a soft closing, you know, like, I'm not going to accept this bullshit, but I'm going to still check out his Facebook, right? I'm not going to accept this bullshit, but I'm waiting for him to call me or I'm waiting for him to text me, right? So recently we had this conversation because he sent me a text and he was like, hey, give me a call when you're free. And I was like, okay, this is the night. This is the day that I'm really going to tell him how I truly and honestly felt. And what I told him, I said, I mean no disrespect. I mean, I'm really not trying to get on you. I mean you no harm. But what I realized is that I'm too good for you. Because you don't see, honestly, the value in me. And so what I will not do, what I will not do is I will never settle for anything less than what I deserve. So I asked him, I said, why do you think that we stopped communicating? Like, I told you to just leave me alone. Let's just stop what we're doing. And he said, well, I think the reason why you're mad was because I didn't take you out as much as you wanted me to. And I said, what? Bitch, you got me fucked up. Basically, you got me fucked up. Really? Do you honestly, truly believe that I need you to take me out to eat? Look at me. I eat well. I eat at fancy restaurants for lunch. Not dinner, but for lunch. Right? No, that's not what I want. What I want from you is for you to see the value in me and to appreciate the woman that I am, right? So after I told him exactly how I felt, after I told him exactly what I want, after I told him exactly what I'm not settling for, I felt free. I felt so fucking free. Bitch, I felt like freer than free. I felt like a bitch that you would see on a Downy commercial that's running through the fields with a sheet behind her back because I was a super fucking woman, right? I felt so free to tell this man what the fuck I meant. And I didn't do it disrespectfully. I didn't do it like, bitch, nigga, what the fuck? Yeah. I didn't do that. And when I didn't do that, I felt so amazing. I felt so amazing. It made me realize now what I need to do in my life. And I feel like women, we go through these levels of changes. So like in my 20s, I used to get this thing all the time from men that was like, oh, you so mean. Your eyebrows, they make you look mean. You're so unapproachable. You look mean. You act mean. I can't talk to you. I can't, because I was always brought up that, you know, don't let men screw you over. Don't let men play you. Don't let men give you the whoop-de-whoop, boop-boop, you know what I'm saying? So I had this defense mechanism in my 20s because I'm going out into the real world and I'm not realizing what is out there and who can harm me. And so I have this defense mechanism. And then I realize, oh, well, this defense mechanism is kind of like leaving my phone dry. So then I start, you know, reevaluating things. And I'm like, maybe I need to ease up, right? So easing up meant, oh, I don't require much. I want a boyfriend. Yeah, he doesn't do this for me, but I'll settle. Okay. I understand. But in the meantime, you're hurting. You're diminishing yourself. You're becoming smaller. You're shrinking. And you're feeling like you're undeserving of what's really, really love, right? And then you get this aha moment where you're like, I would rather be alone. I would rather be alone, bitch, than settle for the okie doke. I would rather be alone than be a side piece. I would rather be alone, right? Then you go through that. And then I'm at this place right now in my life, right now, at this very moment, where I'm kind of like, I'm loving me. I'm appreciating me. I'm seeing the beauty in me. I want to help other people. I want to do more things. It's not all about having a man in your life. It's about appreciating the people who come into your life. It's about appreciating the life that God has given you. It's about appreciating the air. It's about seeing the scenery, looking at the leaves turn a different color, looking at flowers blooming. It's about all of this. It's about, you know, living your life to the fullest of its capacities. It's about trying new foods. It's about kissing new people. It's about hugging one another. It's about painting on a canvas. It's about reading a new book. It's about enlightening yourself. It's about letting light go, like just the glow of life on you. It's about living life to its fullest. How can you live life to its fullest when you're chasing after people who don't want to love you? How can you love life to its fullest when you don't love you? You don't appreciate you. You don't see you for who you really are. You are diminishing yourself, your worth, your everything. And I'm at this point where I'm like, no, hell no. It's never too late to start a career. It's never too late to, in one thing and start something new. It's never too late to, you know, try something different. It's never too late to open up. It's never too late to forgive. It's never too late. So in 2020, I'm asking you guys to open up your heart, open up your minds, open up your spirit to receiving goodness. I'm asking you to open up so that you can accept what you really, really deserve. Everybody deserves love. Everybody deserves fulfillment. Everybody deserves a second chance at life, at doing what God wants you to do, your purpose. Everybody deserves a chance. So, in 2020, I'm asking you guys to just please share the love. Share the dang truth. Let me know what needs to be improved. Let me know how I can help you. Let me know if I can help your business. Let me know if I can help your life. Let me know if we can do something together. Let me know what it is that, if it's positive, if it is something that will plant a seed and it will grow into something beautiful, help me to help you. Help me to help the universe. Let's do it together, right? So when we get back from this break, this quick little break, I'm going to tell you what we're not going to do in 2020. Okay? So stay tuned to what we not finna do in 2020 on The Dame Truth. All right, so I'm back, and listen, we have gotten down to the segment of what we not finna do, and I'm gonna tell you right now, this is what we not finna do. In 2020, what we are not finna do is wait around for other people to validate who we are and what we're planning to do with our lives. So what we not finna do is, we're not finna procrastinate, we're not finna, you know, just let our lives pass us by and not meet our goals. Now, in 2020, I have a financial goal that I am going to meet. And I'm sticking to my financial goal because I have some things that I must do and it's imperative. One of them is my nephew is graduating from high school and I'm sending him out my door with $5,000. And I told him that, listen, this $5,000 is going to be for you to be a nest egg so that you can go out into the real world and have something. And it's going to go towards his school, books, whatever, whatever. I know that I'll always be there to help him. But what I'm not finna do is let my children down. I'm not finna let the people who need me the most down in 2020. And how you let people down? Procrastination. You know, being lazy, sitting on your ass, having a good talk, but not really walking the walk. What we not finna do in 2020 is talk all that shit, but not have nothing to back that shit up with. You know what I'm saying? One thing that used to really burn me up when I was in high school is when a bitch would talk a whole lot of shit and pop a whole lot of shit, but the bitch was scary. So in 2020, we not finna have no scary ass bitches running around here procrastinating because they're really scared of success. They're scared of what the future is going to bring to them because it's unknown. What we're going to do is we're going to walk in 2020 with fucking authority. We're going to tell people what we want. We're going to get what we want. We're going to have what we need. And we're not going to procrastinate when it comes down to getting it. So what we're not finna do in 2020 is procrastinate, my people. On that note, I want you guys to have a blessed week. Make sure that you have a productive day. Make sure that you don't allow anybody to stress you out. Make sure that you get all negativity away from you. Make sure that you eat what you're supposed to eat. Get your daily greens in. I want you to drink that water. I want you to glow, and I want you to tell that nigga to go. I want you to glow, and I want you to tell that nigga to go. If he is not helping you to progress, to be the person that you need to be, who you're ordained to be, what God wants you to be, if your edges are gone, bitch, if you're missing edges, he gotta go. If you got a hole in the top of your head because you've been rubbing the center of your head, bitch, he's got to go. If you're not having good sex and the sex is mundane and your skin ain't glowing after you have sex, bitch, he got to go. That means that you are not having an orgasm. We are not procrastinating when we are trying to let go and release the trash that's in our life. Okay? So we're not going to procrastinate in 2020. And on that note, y'all have a wonderful week. Again, it's your girl Edith Yolanda with The Dang Truth. You can find me on Facebook at Edith Yolanda Parrish, and that is The Dang Truth on Facebook. We have a fan page. You can also find me at Hermosa Cosmetics on Instagram. Guys, I can't wait. I cannot wait to get into the good stuff that we have for 2020. It's only the beginning. All right, y'all. Until next time, peace. Mike, do you notice that I'm always having to tell Mike to shut up? Like, Mike, shut up.
I'm used to it now.
It don't bother. Like, you're right. You don't even hear it anymore.
All right, guys. Welcome back to Cosmos and Cognac. Like, we have so much to talk about. I don't know. I don't even know where to begin. Like, where do we begin?
Shoot.
Do you want to just talk about this Kobe celebration? Because we didn't get to talk about it last week. We had to take a little sabbatical. So, do you want to talk about...
coronavirus.
Let's talk about Kobe first. I feel like a lot of people are dying. I know, it's crazy. But don't you feel like a lot of people have died, like, right at the beginning of 2019? At the end... Like, it seems like 2018 and 19 is just... rolling together with like celebrities that are dying. So we had, you know, everybody, even though Nipsey Hussle died like the beginning of last year, we're still talking about Nipsey. Then we turn around and Kobe. Then we turn around, B. Smith died. I know a lot of people don't really know who B. Smith is, but she was pretty much a fashion icon to me, lifestyle icon.
Right.
And then we have this young fella who everybody knows except for me, Pop Smoke. I don't know him. Well, you know, I posted up a Yo, a lot of people looking at me. I listen to his music.
You know what's so funny?
And I mean, his music was this garbage. Weekend,
you know, I was around some people who were drinking pretty heavily.
Okay. They were talking about me?
Not you. They were talking about Pop Smoke. This one guy, I guess he had a little too much to drink. And he was legit like, you know, God rest his soul and everything. But man, that nigga music was trash.
It was trash.
And he said it just like that. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, I'm not like, oh, I'm not discrediting him for, you know, being an artist or whatever, whatever. But I mean, I could never get into his music. Like, never.
That one song on the radio is good.
It's Dior. Dior. I heard that one. Yeah. No. He sounds a lot like 50 Cent.
I got XM now, so I don't hear that shit.
Yeah. I don't think that his life is going to be a big impact. Like a lot of people didn't know who Nipsey Hussle was. But then when they started, like, researching who Nipsey was, they started saying, oh, I like his song. I like his message. I like what he's rapping about. I don't think they're going to get that with Pop Smoke. Mm-hmm. However, let's talk about it. Pop Smoke got killed in his mansion that he was renting in Beverly Hills.
Okay.
A lot of people are saying that it was because of him posting up on Instagram the gifts that he was receiving.
And his address was on the gifts.
And the address was out there. And then a lot of people are saying that it was a targeted hit because out of all the people that were in the home, he was the only one that was gunned down and killed. So, I don't know how that works. Yeah, there were multiple people in the home. They did not get shot and killed. So I don't know. And then from what I also heard, word on the street, is that he is a very well-known blood, I believe.
Okay.
So it could be one of those
things. A blood out there in Cali?
He's from New York.
Oh, okay, okay.
He's from New York.
That makes sense, okay.
And so I don't know, but rest in peace. My whole thing is, and this is what I want to know. When you're young like this, you have people like Nipsey Hussle, you have people like Kobe Bryant, Pop Smoke, and even people like B. Smith with their situations. Do you think that they had a living will? I know that they probably were insured up the wazoo.
Probably not Pop Smoke. I feel like people in their 20s aren't thinking about stuff like that.
About death.
Kobe,
yeah.
He was very smart with his money.
Okay.
B. Smith, you know, because the husband.
Yes, they did not divorce. Even though.
They were separated?
They weren't separated. They lived together and he brought his white woman in the house.
His concubine?
Hold up. That woman is not a concubine. That was his girlfriend that he brought into the home while B. Smith was very much so still alive.
I like concubine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, she could have been.
As I sip my wine.
Concubine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was wrong with that?
That's pretty much what it is.
It's in the Bible.
I mean, if they had an understanding, that's just their relationship.
It's just what it is, right.
I don't think that they had I definitely don't believe that B. Smith had the, from what Whoopi Goldberg said, because they were very, very close, Whoopi Goldberg thought that this was the ultimate disrespect. She even talked about it on The View. But my whole thing is this. Who gets what? So
your girlfriend doesn't.
Well, no, the girlfriend, he's getting it all. So we already know he's getting it all because he's the husband. And we know that Kobe's wife is getting it, you know, getting it all because she's the wife. However, we do know that Kobe had a mother and a father that
is still
alive. Yeah, they're estranged. And he had sisters that he was very close with. So do you think that in a situation like that, now we're talking about a man who has millions, probably billions. Mm-hmm. Do you believe
that... He might give him a jersey or something.
But that's what...
Damn.
You know, this is fucked up.
Why is that fucked up?
Because... You are no longer...
When you're... Honestly, once you're married, your parents are second.
Period. I understand that. So, but I also believe that they would want something from their son. Because, I mean, if it wasn't...
What do you mean? Everyone's going to want something. When my mom passed away, everyone wanted... Oh, what are you going to do with this and this and this in the house? Rosie said she wanted this... She said I could have... Everyone wants something.
I understand.
But my thing is, that doesn't mean you deserve anything. You're not entitled to anything.
I don't want to say entitled, but I feel like without his parents, without his parents, there wouldn't be a Kobe Bryant.
Okay, well, if that's the case, no, that's not fair. I don't care. I didn't ask to be born. I did not ask to be born.
Why, Mike, why are you rubbing your head?
You don't automatically... That's like... That's like this self. That's entitlement.
It's not entitlement.
Yes. You think because you had a great time one night.
No.
That you are entitled.
It's not a great time. They were married. They had a son. They had children.
And he didn't ask.
And they supported him.
And that's their job.
And they made him who he was.
But parents and just like husbands, you don't get rewarded. You know what they say about husbands. Oh, I do. I'm the breadwinner. I pay the bills. You don't get a reward for doing what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
No, you don't get a, you don't.
I don't think that men actually get recognition that they're supposed to get for being the breadwinner and the head of the household.
That part I agree with. You can
but,
always.
But can I say this in regards to living well? And I'll let y'all let y'all answer.
Mike is over here rubbing his head. Like.
But the thing about living well is that if that person feels like that money should be dedicated to whoever, then that's fine. But what you tend to find out when a person dies, you find out who the real family is.
Okay.
Because the real family is not asking for all of that.
Mm-mm. Okay.
The vultures are. Mm-hmm. And when the vultures come out, that's when I normally kill them suckers. Because that's a time when, you know, well, I'm, that was my favorite cousin. You know, mm-hmm, you can hook me up with a couple of stacks.
But what about the people? Your like, say, for instance,
I don't care.
My dad died, right? I was 17 years old. My dad died. He was married to another woman. Then my brother died. Mm-hmm. No, excuse me. My dad died. Then my grandfather died. And then my brother died. Mm-hmm. And now thinking back on how my dad died suddenly, he didn't have a living will. If he had an insurance policy, I didn't know of it. You know what I'm saying? I didn't get anything. Mm-hmm. My dad had a house that mm-hmm. his wife was living in. I didn't receive anything from the house being sold or rented. And then now that I think about it, the only thing that I really wanted from my dad were pictures. Like, I didn't even get a picture. I didn't get a t-shirt from my dad. Before my grandmother died, my grandmother gave me, my dad had a silver bracelet with like onyx jewels or something. And she gave that to me. I wasn't looking for anything. You know what I'm saying? I'm not looking for anything. But as a child, I was like at least thinking, you know, somebody would look out and say, oh, this is your dad's Bible. Or this is some pictures of your dad when he was in high school or something. That's what I mean about if it's something that is his and belongs to him.
So what's wrong with a jersey?
Well, I didn't say it's anything wrong with a jersey, but that was one of the things that got them in a conflict in the first place was because they sold his jersey.
And that would be a great gift to remind them, this is why you're not getting anything else.
And I wouldn't do anything petty like that, but, you know, if it's your living will, you can do whatever
you
want. It's kind of like, you know, I hate to bring this to power, but what Ghost did and how he set up his living will.
With Tasha.
Tasha didn't get nothing.
That was great.
His kids would get stuff, and his son could not get the money until he went to college.
With
got a degree.
3.5
average.
Right.
That was the stipulation. So I like that.
But what about the people who don't have one?
And
that's what I'm saying.
Well, that's the issue. We have to.
That's
have
what I'm saying. I'm not saying like if that was in his will that his family members, only his wife and children got something, that's what he willed. And that. But you know what? Really, I think.
I think getting nothing but these student loans right now.
You're crazy.
Okay.
I think that what a lot of people actually saw in this whole like dedication to Kobe Bryant and the memory of him is that his parents really didn't have a voice at all.
But we don't know why.
No, I'm talking about during the memorial service.
Yeah,
like,
we don't know why though.
Yeah,
they may not have. Like LeBron didn't
even go.
No, he didn't want to go, but he did talk. He did do the first tribute that they had.
The first one.
Yeah, they did the first one.
But he was. They had a picture of him. He was behind Anthony Davis, and he had his head covered. He did not want to be seen. He did not want it to be about him.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to be at the service, but he did not want to speak. That was his choice.
Mm-hmm.
and that was for him because
he, of course,
they have their own thing.
But LeBron is also not his family member. LeBron is not his mother or his father.
But what I'm saying is that we don't know what have happened. They had a private ceremony at the house.
They did.
So we don't know if the family spoke at that one or whatever.
We don't. That's
their business.
It is.
And so we had the public memorial was for the fans, and so. That's kind of how it is. The living will, I believe everyone needs one because we don't need to be on GoFundMe with all this other stuff.
Baby, let's talk about it. I just posted it up. Listen, I can't do a GoFundMe account. I just can't do it. I have an insurance policy and I posted up this whole, I posted up this topic on my Facebook because I was like, how many of you guys have an insurance policy?
Right.
Because I feel like if you have children.
It's really not even that much money.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah. Let me tell you something.
Dollars, yeah.
I actually, what I ended up doing was I took my life insurance policy and I told the person who sold me my life insurance policy, let me pay up 6 months.
Yeah.
Because it's not even that much. When you do it that way, it was like $200-some-odd. Mm-hmm. So I was like, let me pay it because I'm a healthy person. I don't have any health conditions. Mm-hmm. So my insurance policy was much lower. And because of my age, I really didn't have much to, they didn't have much to worry about because they think that I'm going to be here for a longer period of time. Whereas if I was like 80 years old with heart disease, then, my premium would be up the roof, right?
Yeah.
But for right now, I was like, there's so many people out here dying. Like, they're just dying. And speaking of dying, let's talk about the coronavirus.
Man. I don't want to die. Please, y'all, don't be coughing all
don't
in the
air. Don't cough in people's face.
Y'all can't sit here and say, listen, those people, it's not about coughing.
No, it is. That's how you're going to catch it.
You can catch anything.
Just like how the flu is spread, that's how this thing is spread, too. So, yes, it is with coughing.
You can't tell people not to cough, y'all.
On me.
Don't cough on me. Don't cough on my vicinity.
I have been in a museum walking by somebody, cough, and I felt a speckle on my face.
I would Lysol your ass now. I'm sorry.
And guess what? I got sick a couple days later.
Don't
you
do
did
that.
Not get
I swear. I swear. And it was in the summer. It was.
But we are... I know at my place of employment, we are taking this very seriously.
You should.
I will be advising all of my staff and the families, due to the coronavirus, if your individual is sick, my staff will not be coming in. Please don't ask us to come in. We will not be coming in during this time because, funny, but seriously, we don't want that, and I don't want to be on the hook.
Well, right now, it's one case that's on the East Coast. At first, it was all isolated to the West Coast. Like, Washington State is where the guy who was 50 years old died. California, Oregon.
Like
those people. And then come to find out that now it's one case in Africa. A man who's an Italian man who works in Africa brought the coronavirus to Africa, which they were saying that they really don't want this to be widespread in Africa because they don't have the capabilities nor the facilities to help people who have this virus. So, people will be dropping like flies. Then you look at people who are actually quarantined in Italy and nothing can go in or come out, meaning no food, no supplies, no water, no medicine. So they have towns and cities that are quarantined. And I'm just like, really, like, just imagine if somebody says, you can't leave out this door tonight. You can't cross these gates tonight.
No.
It's crazy, right? Mm-hmm. So I just really, and isn't it hard for us to find the correct mask? Because you have to have a specific mask that you wear.
I want y'all to just wash your hands.
It's just about cleanliness and being proactive. Yeah.
Yes.
If you go on an airplane and that airplane gets no ventilation, you're going to get sick. Right. And then look at all the people who, okay, so you say you're not going in the airplane, right?
Not right now.
Now, let's think about it. Let's think about all the people who have been screened in Hartfield Jackson it has been over like 200 some odd cases of people who have the symptoms of the coronavirus just coming into Hartsfield-Jackson. You're not talking about the TSA workers, the people who work at Chick-fil-A, the people who do baggage claim. You're not even talking about those people that are coming in contact with these people's items, coming in contact with these people. Then they come out here and guess what? They go to Kroger. They go to the mall. They want to get their makeup done.
You're scaring Ashley.
I'm all in their face.
You're scaring Ashley.
Doing their makeup this close. Like, are you kidding me? Like,
you're scaring Ashley.
It can't be just about
me.
It can't just be about, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a serious, like, I don't think that people are actually taking this shit seriously.
Well, it starts with our president who's not taking it seriously.
Thank you.
Who said that this is a plot
employed
by the Democrats. How asinine is that? But
well, my mama told me that. I said, "Mama, I know he did not say that."
Yes, he did.
He's a dummy.
This is your president.
He's not mine.
This is who you elected.
I'm
still stuck on Barack.
There you go, white people.
So I mean,
you did this.
It's a mess. Anyway, guys. So
wait, we didn't solve anything. What are we gonna do? This is scary,
girl. I don't know. Get some ginger ale.
No.
Oh, that's what they said. I'm like, no. Black people swear ginger ale cures everything.
No, you're gonna wash your hands. If you are sick, you stay your behind home.
That's crazy.
Hey, but you should be doing that anyway.
Should be. You know how many people come to work? Like, my whole thing is
come to
this.
Work sick because I'm not coming to work.
Like, no. I'll tell you this. I'll call out if I have a goddamn mental health day. If I need a mental health day, I need a mental health day. And that's all it is to it.
I'll be taking more of those during the year.
I'm just saying. Like,
y'all late.
Well, listen.
I've been doing that.
Okay. Well, listen. Now we're talking about Black Republicans.
Ah! That was funny. I didn't see that. Sorry.
Well, I heard that. So, anyway. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, we'll be right back after this brief commercial break?
Yeah.
For sure.
For sure.